Welcome to the 167 podcast, a podcast to inspire, challenge, and encourage you. Our goal is to help you live into the 167 hours of your week away from church. And now your host, Shannon Patterson.
Well, hey, Porch Community, and welcome to episode 181 of the 167 podcast. I'm Shannon Patterson, your lead pastor here at the Porch Community Church. And as always, I'm with my good friend and yours too, your media pastor, Josh Harrell. Hey, Josh.
Hey, Shannon. How's it going?
Well, it was going good till you just made that weird face.
It was just weird.
Why? Because I said, and yours too?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it was different.
It was different.
Messed up your...
Messed up the flow.
It's going good. Spring break.
Spring break.
Post-Easter. Yeah.
Post Holy Week.
Post busy. No, not for you.
No.
I've been working on, the third week of our upcoming series.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Are you excited for it?
I am.
I love the history books of the Bible.
Like, yeah.
So
yeah.
This is one of my favorite books.
Yeah. We're starting a new series in the book of Numbers starting this Sunday. So, we've done this thing where we'll do a book of the Old Testament one semester and then New Testament the next semester and then and then back and forth. So we had the half a year series in Acts.
Yeah.
So we are about to, we're not doing a half a year, but we're going to cover from spring through the summer in the book of Numbers.
Yeah.
The fourth book of the Bible. So there you go.
And hopefully you don't bust my bubble taking things that I think are literal in it. And it being imagery.
Well, we'll see when we get there. So I've been working on that. But you've been busy.
Yep. So we moved my mom from Douglas to here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been fun.
Yep. Does she listen to the podcast?
No.
Okay. So parenting parents.
Yeah.
You've been kind of doing it.
Yeah. Been doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's been good.
Yeah.
It's only been 3 days. So we'll see how it works out. We really think this is going to, we know there's going to be growing pains and there's going to be times we don't
there
like it. But overall, we hope it's positive.
I think it will be.
Yeah.
I think it will be. In our experience with having my father-in-law live in the back of the apartment, I mean, it's detached, but it's
steps right there.
Away.
Yeah.
It's been good. It's been really good. And Drew is good with it. So
yeah.
I hope that you have that same.
And so she's only gonna. So she lives literally 2 minutes from here, the church, and 5 minutes from my house.
Right.
So it's good.
Yeah.
And we're already gonna use the grandparent babysitter.
Wow.
You know, because I got to run out of town tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And set up a gig for Saturday. And so we're going to let them stay with grandma.
There you go.
Yep.
Nice. Nice. You've been doing that. That's busy time, working time. But here we are. We're post-Easter, and I hope...
Oh, and today I did my taxes.
Oh, well. That's a... Where's your woo woo woo? Where's your sound effects for that?
Oh, nope, that was just a vocal effect. Never mind.
What's that? Raw. That was me. Hello.
Yeah, that.
Hello.
Taxes. No, do that again. Do that again.
Yeah. Taxes. Yeah.
Oh, that's horrible and wonderful at the same time. There you go.
There it was. April 15th's coming.
Did you know that is the day that I accepted Jesus Christ? April 15th, 1994. And it had nothing to do with taxes. I didn't owe money that year or anything. It just that was the day.
I got my tax bill and I was like,
"Dear Lord, I need you, Jesus." Dropped to my knees. No,
I was actually having some issues with TurboTax because it said I had an error, but I couldn't figure out how to fix it. And everything online said you're just gonna have to restart.
Oh,
so what I did is I paid that extra money to have a live expert chat with me.
Yeah.
They fixed it and then found more money. So,
excellent.
Yeah.
Not more money to pay, more money to receive.
Yeah. It's
more of your money to get back.
Yeah, I'm actually getting money.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, good. Good. So Anything else you want to mention before we jump into today's topic, which I am pretty certain this is going to be a multi-part conversation.
Yeah.
So anything we want to mention before we go?
Before did we you see it? The video I did with... I did with Will.
For goodness. Yes, I did. Okay. So the you're talking about the VBS promo video.
Yeah, because VBS is a registration is officially live.
It is officially live.
I see what you did there.
Because it's scuba.
Scuba.
That is the theme. Scuba
you here
VBS.
For scuba?
What does scuba mean? Not that.
Duba.
What's scuba mean?
Self-contained underwater breathing apparatus.
I know, but really, what is it for the VBS?
Oh, I don't know.
Kristen would tell us.
She would.
The one time she's not here.
I know. Not even
she's
in the office.
She's always butting into our episodes and golly. Anyway, yeah, it's got some sort of theme about something.
Something Jesus Bible.
Yeah. Anyway, you made this great promo with our wonderful Will Steinberg as Sydney Shores.
I hope that person's supposed to be Australian.
Well, if not, they are now because he killed it. He's like, he has a good accent.
He does.
I'm impressed.
He's got to keep it. Now he's got to keep it for
the
entire
week. Oh,
we
talked about Kristen and she...
text you?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Hey, my federal tax return was just accepted.
Wow, everything's happening at once.
Yeah.
All the things.
Your federal tax return was accepted.
Yes. Yeah. I've already received my returns. I got $6 back from the IRS, from federal, and I got like 30 back from state. So I feel pretty good about how I did my taxes.
You ever feel like you're like, something's not right?
I don't know. Yes.
Every time I do it. Yeah. But the number's decent enough to go, I didn't do something right.
I remember the days when I used to get super excited about getting a good size refund.
Yeah.
But then, of course, my husband, who's the ever logic person, the Spock in my life, was like, you know that's just your money that they're keeping and earning interest on during the year, and then they're just giving back what you've told them you earn, and then they're going to check and see if you really... And I said, oh, man.
Yeah.
So I don't mind getting a little bit back because it's like I think I did it right.
Yeah, but when you like especially when you're young, if you expect money.
Oh yeah. Oh for sure.
And then you have to pay money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not good.
It's devastating.
That's like getting a birthday card from your grandma on it. Not only does it not have money in it, but she's like, and you owe me $20.
Yeah.
Like that would be horrible.
Yeah. The only thing worse is like you ever gotten a gift card from a grandparent?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's not actually activated? And you kind of don't have the money to pay for it?
Yeah. Or it's like got $6 on it instead of 60 or whatever. Yeah, it's good times. Oh, my goodness. I don't know how we segue, but we'll try. Have you ever ridden on a Segway?
No.
I have. It's pretty fun. It was fun.
Like one of those tours on
but
a cruise?
But the one with like you have something to hold on to. Like it's basically the...
It's the hoverboard without the holding on stick.
Yeah, yeah.
There was an episode of Frasier where Niles had a Segway for like an episode. And I wanted to try one so bad after that.
And
then after Paul Blart, it's just like, I got to get one.
You know, I haven't seen Paul Blart. I need to.
I mean, if you like Kevin James...
I do.
You'll like it. If you don't like Kevin James, you won't.
Okay. Good to know.
Like, it's very, like, in that vein of Adam Sandler.
Yes.
Kevin James stuff. Yes. So if you don't like that, you're going to hate it. But if you like that kind of comedy, which is my preferred form of comedy, it's good.
Okay. Well, there you go. So today's topic. Let's see. Without looking at the notes I've already sent you. So look away. When I say the word gatekeeping.
Karen.
Oh, what do you think?
A Karen that...
Explain.
Like someone that tells you whether your values and opinions are valid or not.
Ooh, okay. So that was my next thing is, so what is gatekeeping? If you are someone who is very much on social media, you have seen some gatekeeping recently. You probably, not recently, like in the last couple of years, you've heard the term.
Since 2020.
Right. It was the Vogue word of the year in 2022.
Really?
In case you didn't know that.
I didn't know Vogue had words of the year.
I don't know either.
I thought that was just like Webster.
I don't know. No, Vogue did. but so there's a definite term where I'm going to give you the Oxford Dictionary version. And then some other Urban Dictionary version I'm going to give you. There's no bad words. I know.
Okay.
I know. You got to be careful with Urban Dictionary, but sometimes, you know, it can tell you what's up. But so when I say gatekeeping, you think of a Karen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you think of someone who's going to tell you yes, no, that's correct, not correct.
I mean, it's almost what you see on social media, it's almost like they're either validating or disvalidating uh-huh. your existence.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah. So would you say gatekeeping and like the whole cancel culture are they like first cousins? Like, are they together? Are they friends? Are they holding hands?
I mean, they're cousins from Mississippi. They probably sleep. You can tell my opinion.
How do you feel about that?
I'm not good with either of these things.
Okay, so I'm going to give you the Oxford definition.
Honestly, because
yeah.
running social media for a church, right. mm-hmm. we are actually targets of cancel culture and gatekeeping.
Will you please? Is it? I'm going to ask if you'll do this. So I'm going to give you a break, in case you want to cut this out.
Okay.
The quote, the comment someone made the other day about our egg hunt.
Only snakes lay eggs. Why are you lying to your children? And it's talking about our Easter egg hunt.
Oh, man.
I mean, I have to, like, that's one of the funnier ones, but I yeah. probably delete 5 to 7 comments a week.
And I don't hear about it, so because, I don't want to know.
Well, it used to, I remember coming to you and going, hey, we got our first mean content. Comment. That means we're making stuff that is pushing buttons.
Oh, man. There you go. Yeah. So, gatekeeping. So, here's the Oxford Dictionary definition.
Liberals.
Are you saying the Oxford Dictionary is
yes.
liberal? Are they?
Yeah.
Oh, how do we know? Is that a gatekeeping comment? Have you just... Yes, did is. You run them through your personal gate?
Yes.
And then they make, okay, so who would be your other dictionary?
Jeff Foxworthy.
Oh, my gosh. The redneck?
He has okay. a dictionary.
Okay, well, I'm going to go with Oxford right now because it's what I have in my notes. A definition of gatekeeping can be a person or a system that decides whether someone or something will be allowed to reach a particular place or person. All right? I agree with that statement. A person or system that decides whether someone or something will be allowed to reach a particular place or person. So you imagine a literal gate, and you are the keeper of the gate, and you are deciding if what someone is bringing to the gate to go through the gate, if they can or not. So that would be the definition of gatekeeping. Are you with me?
Yep.
Yeah, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would.
Okay.
I mean, that makes total sense.
So now, all right, here's the Urban Dictionary.
I was trying to see if Jeff Foxworthy actually had a definition for gatekeeping.
So Urban, like Urban Dictionary has, theirs is, when someone takes, this is very similar, when someone takes it upon themselves to decide who does or does not have access or rights to a community or identity. So theirs is much more in the social context, but mm-hmm. it's still there. Essentially, gatekeeping is an ongoing practice that you have someone with some sort of power within the community that can say yes or no to come through. Here's another Urban Dictionary definition. A word used to describe when someone sets a standard or limit on what someone must do to call themselves a true fan of something or someone.
Mm.
So like there could be the gatekeepers of like the DC comics or the Marvel stuff
oh, yeah.
or all the things.
Yeah, like, we didn't call it gatekeeping then.
Uh-huh. Is it? What, do you have a term? Can you
jerks.
Repeat the term?
Oh. No, I mean seriously, like.
I love it.
Well, you know,
you're being a jerk
when someone gatekeeper. Is trying to say that someone's a bandwagon fan.
Right, right.
You know, same. Technically that's gatekeeping.
Right,
but what we would just call those people jerks.
Right, right. And it's funny because I didn't realize because I don't, and a lot of this I would say, as I was doing a little bit of research on this. TikTok seems to be kind of the main place, but I think a lot of social media platforms would do this, where if there's any place where you are, you know, promoting someone or something or liking something or sharing about something or someone, that someone else is going to ding in and be like on you and
yeah,
being
yeah.
a gatekeeper, laying mm-hmm. like you're not really a fan or like you're not really a Swiftie, Josh. You think you are, but you're not or
I'm not.
Whatever. I read something about like F1, like the Formula One
yeah.
series. which has just
blown up.
Blown up since the Netflix series.
Mm-hmm.
That's how Drew and I started watching it. Like, well, we didn't really notice it.
They're
before.
Also doing a big push for it to come into U.S. Well,
and right, and that was part of it. And so, but like a lot of the original or former pre-Netflix series F1 fans were like, I guess I'm doing air quotes, gatekeeping against those who had just kind of come on board, you know. But it's like, yeah.
Why does it matter?
It's weird. I know, it's weird. So, and someone, listener, you might be going, where is there a point to this? Are we going to talk about Jesus and all this? We're going to talk about gatekeeping and the church. We're going to talk about gatekeeping and Christians. We're going to talk about how does gatekeeping have a, what kind of impact does it have? Is it completely bad? Is it totally fine? Is there a measure of which where it's good or bad?
Well, when it's Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Cause
at the pearly gates?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He gets the gatekeep.
Yeah, yeah, we're going to talk. Jesus said something about a gate and it not being a wide way, but a narrow way. those are our definitions. Now, here's the deal. Okay, so I mentioned good or bad.
Yep.
I know your opinion of the way people have used gatekeeping is not good.
Right.
Like you've not had a good experience with that, what you've seen or whatever.
I mean.
Get that.
Yeah.
I get that. And I'm not saying like this to counter you, but I would offer that in regard to gatekeeping, people should meet a criteria maybe to be able to do certain things. For instance, I think any of us would want if we had a heart problem, we would want our heart surgeon to have had some gatekeepers in place to ensure that they're actually qualified to be a heart surgeon.
Yes.
Right. So the actual gatekeeping, the act of it, in many circumstances, it's not a bad thing. And actually, if we were just to really examine our lives, there is gatekeeping going on all over the place.
Well, gatekeeping is meant to keep a standard.
Yes. And where we're going to start to, as we probably won't even get to today, is it's really about the standard itself.
Mm-hmm.
And are people rewriting standards? Yes.
Yes.
Are people saying, no, that's not standard? Or are two different groups, organizations, whatever you want to say, both saying they have the standard, you know, trademark, and anything else is wrong? I mean, that's religion right there.
Mm-hmm.
For a lot of stuff. So yes, we want, you're talking about standard, a criteria, something, the qualification that we, and that's true. I mean, again, I think if we were all to really stop and examine how gatekeeping standard is happening all around us all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a bad word, but it can certainly be misused, and it can certainly even be like, I mean, if it makes it into Urban Dictionary, that means that it's being used. It was a former term that now might have a little bit slightly different term.
Yes.
Which, in regard to this, it's more like if you want to be a part of us, we're gonna let you know if you can be part of us or not.
Mm-hmm.
In regard to, I don't know, groups and following and stuff and things.
This video that I saw on, I guess it was College Humor or Smosh or one of those channels.
I don't know about Smosh.
That's funny.
Okay.
But it was talking, there was this taco truck, and it was a white guy running a taco truck.
Mm-hmm.
And this white Karen goes up to the truck and goes, you can't sell tacos. You're not even Hispanic.
Wow.
And then he goes, well, I'm not cooking the tacos. That's Jose over there. And then she goes, you're hiring a Hispanic to do all your cooking?
Can't win.
He can't win.
Oh, man. And this was
it's just a YouTube video.
Okay, yeah.
It's quite funny.
So let's talk about social media, okay, and just, yeah, all that. Where the original idea of gatekeeping was, you know, who is someone with, the institutional power in places of authority where decisions are made for large groups of people, you know, where what they say goes and that happens. I mean, there's that kind of form of power, right?
Mm-hmm. And then when you're talking about social media, the standard of your power is how many followers you have.
Ooh, okay. And how do you get more? How do you keep those and get more? Right? Don't you want to get more followers always?
Yeah, but always usually if you have a lot, whatever you say, it will just kind of...
It'll just go. Yeah.
Unless it's like so against the culture,
yeah,
current culture, that it would fall flat.
Yeah. Well, and so here's the reason I mentioned that, because like with social media, even the word gatekeep has become
JK Rowling is a good example of her gatekeeping platform fell out from under her when she made a post against a subculture that was counter to what her medium generally supported.
Wow. Can you be more?
She made a comment about trans people. A derogatory comment about trans people.
Right.
By whatever measuring stick you want to use.
And
her follower base, which is very pro trans people, just basically just bailed on her.
Wow.
And then so she got canceled by the culture that was supporting her because she made a comment that was so anti her gate that she had.
Okay. Yeah. So there was a gatekeeping aspect to what she said, and they were like, all right,
like
we're done.
She was able to feed certain cultures and stuff like that and gatekeep other people. And
right.
then she made a derogatory term, and then, or what was believed a derogatory term, because I'm not evaluating that. But basically her followers just bailed on her because of...
So I would hear that as like cancel.
Why they're intertwined.
Okay.
Because
her
gatekeeping is what led to her getting canceled.
Okay.
Because she was this, and this.
And everyone's like, great. No.
No.
Okay. Yes. Got you. Well, and so that is, it's become like part of the lexicon, so, like the vernacular. People are like, should I gatekeep this? Should I not gatekeep this? Like,
yeah. So I would say the influencer is the gatekeeper and the followers are the culture. So they control whether the gatekeeper can trigger a cancel culture, but the celebrity doesn't cause the cancel culture. It is their gatekeeping that triggers the response of cancel culture.
Well, okay, so there is a lexicographer, actually, of the American Dialect Society. Her name's Kelly Wright, and she said that if you start a post, talking about social media, if you start a post with, I want to gatekeep this, but, and then you say whatever you're going to say after that, it's become this way for an influencer to signal, one, like, I've got some information here, I have something of worth to mention or an opinion to say. But even though I maybe shouldn't, I'm going to share it with you. Like, it's like turned into this word that like it's become its thing, right? So like telling people that you're not gatekeeping is
I don't want to gossip, but
a quick and easy way, right, to signal like I'm being authentic here, I'm being transparent, which are two traits that are at a premium. I mean,
in the
world.
You want someone to be transparent and honest.
And real, yeah. So, talking about the original definition of a gatekeeper as someone with power, we live in this algorithm, talking about social media, where we live in this era with I can't speak. We live in this era where we've got these algorithms that are like what I open up right now on even my YouTube.
Yeah.
My Facebook or whatever, it's going to be different than what you're opening up.
100%.
Even though we both have YouTube or, you know, Instagram or whatever whatever the thing you're saying. But like, because it's tailored to our individual likes and the things we follow and the content we consume.
Yeah, it's already managed. So the platforms are already managed and gatekept before anyone actually posts on it because they have standards of things that they say are not okay to do on their platforms or are okay.
Right.
So even before Taylor Swift makes a tweet, it has to adhere to the gatekeeping
standards
that Twitter has already created.
Excuse me.
And I'm saying Twitter because I don't think anyone will know what I was saying if I said X. But because those platforms have standards, there's already things that you know will go on those sites and won't go. Will go well, won't go well. Like, I know for a fact that anything we post as a church will do better on Instagram than on Facebook, because Facebook has a stronger resilience to church messages on that platform. Whereas Instagram, it allows it to go through easier, even though they are the exact same company.
This is a subtopic of a subtopic, but even mentioning, because of gatekeeping, some news outlets will say X, formerly known as Twitter, where other news outlets will just say X.
Yes.
And it's because they are wanting to make, they're wanting to call back to Twitter name and time before it was owned Elon Musk.
Yeah.
That in and of itself is an example of gatekeeping in regard to how you get information. So if you're a person that uses social media in any way, shape, or form, if you Google something, if you use your Amazon, there's gatekeep. Like I said at the very outset, gatekeeping's happening all the time.
Yeah.
So it's not like a, what's this new thing? It's just maybe we're realizing it, or we're just putting a name to what's already happening.
Yeah.
What are you thinking? I can tell you're thinking.
One of the ones that I was thinking about most recently is that Audible, which is an Amazon company, did not allow John Cooper, the lead singer from Skillet, had a new book come out.
Right.
And it has been banned from Audible.
Why?
I don't know. I haven't read it yet.
Because he's a believer? Is he a believer?
Yeah, but he has other books on there.
Okay.
This one is strictly against woke culture.
Oh.
And it's been banned from Audible.
Huh. Interesting.
So, like, that is one of those things where you can buy it on Amazon. And actually, at one point, it was listed under, it wasn't listed under religious books. It was listed under cult books. So.
Wow.
But yeah, that, like, that's one thing that that's a very prevalent, because I don't like to read books. I'll listen to books.
Right.
And I've tried to get that book and I can't.
Yeah.
So I actually had to dig and find that it had actually been banned.
So the gatekeeping is a real thing.
Yeah.
And I think a question that we will not get to today, if we ever get to the answer, is who's really doing the gatekeeping?
We are.
About stuff? Yeah?
We are. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a collective mindset of people.
But isn't there someone somewhere in these institutions, like someone at Audible had to say, no, we're not going to allow that book?
I would say they've gotten that freedom because we're still giving them money to have that opinion.
Right. But so, they're in effect, they've got a gate and they're saying that one's not coming through.
Yeah, but as a collective, we've decided that it's okay for them to be able to do that. Okay, so perfect example is Disney.
Okay.
They make movies and stuff like that.
They do?
Yep. So they keep making movies, and if they do well, they make more of the same. They might try something. If it doesn't do well, they don't make more of that. There are certain lines that they're not willing to cross because they... The people that are in charge don't believe in those things. They know it won't generate money.
Yes. Yeah.
So if it does, if it, even if they think strongly about it, like politically or civilly and stuff like that, they won't make it unless they know it's going to make money.
Yeah.
So if we as a culture go, hey, we're okay with all these things, and we'll go buy it and see it and all that, they have the freedom to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it's really whatever our culture is allowing is what allows the 0.01% of the gatekeepers to do what they're doing.
Okay.
Because we talk with our wallets that say it's okay by this
company, yeah, I agree
government,
with that.
Whatever.
Okay. So here's my question with that, though. Because I agree with everything you just said. So, but aren't there, if everything that I am receiving, old school newspapers, news, my news feed, the news on TV, the what, everything I listen to, everything, podcasts, everything, podcast, and that goes off probably because public stuff, public domain stuff that you receive, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
There are gatekeepers for those things.
Mm-hmm.
And so if what I am hearing and if how I'm receiving information about things is coming from those who are gatekeepers, then they're already determining or they're already filtering the information I'm getting.
But they only stay gatekeepers because we're buying what
if
they're
I
selling.
Let them. Mm-hmm. So I okay and all right. I'm with you on that then. So the what I think is important for us to understand as like the consumer or the person receiving information or I get all of us whatever is to recognize that just because that's the information we receive doesn't necessarily mean it's accurate or complete or
yeah.
There's other opinions, there's mm-hmm. other ways, there's yeah. there's
I mean, I don't think you can listen to a news source and get a straight presentation because there's so many people wanting it slanted their particular way because it's going to help their bottom line or push whatever legislation they want pushed.
Right. Or just what they believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So for those operating in the world outside of, social media, let's say you are someone who... If you want to be a good, if you've got an organization or a platform or a religion, anything, if you want to be a good gatekeeper, you really actually have to kind of lock it down if you don't want it to get like diluted. Mm-hmm. If you have a message or a platform or whatever, because the influence of audiences, of technology, these social contexts on the information flow will bring in new ideas and new concepts and new opinions mm-hmm. all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that what you should do is lock it down. I'm just talking from that perspective of...
If there are beliefs...
Mm-hmm. If,
perfect example, with the church, there are certain beliefs that we lock down.
Mm-hmm.
Like we won't entertain any open ideas on.
Right, right.
And we have to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There are certain things that you have to lock down because culture will dilute it.
Yes.
And as believers, we have to have certain things that we keep that gate locked.
Okay. So, and that is, yes, sir. So going back to the beginning, when I mentioned gatekeeper, your first reaction was Karen, negative, cancel culture, don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
But now as we go into the topic of faith, it's like, hold on a minute. No, we do need to be gatekeepers.
Yeah.
About these things. And I'm not contradicting you. I think I'm pointing out what I think a lot of us think.
Yeah.
And it's like if we like it or agree with it, then we're like, yes, we will guard the gates.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't like it or we don't like we're restricted or someone's trying to tell us this is it, then we're like, no, storm those gates. Knock those gates down.
Yeah.
Well, how dare you keep me out?
I mean, I guess what it is like before 2020, I never would have used the term gatekeeper.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it would be standards and practices.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or beliefs.
Right. And now gatekeeper's used as a bad word.
Yeah. So
for those who disagree with
what's
allowed through the gate or not allowed through the gate.
Yeah. And I would say what I don't like is the social media gatekeeping.
Uh-huh. Which... Yeah.
But upholding the standards and practice mm-hmm. is good.
Yes. And that's where I think in regard to social media, I don't know other than even you said like Insta, Facebook, all those, TikTok, they have standards.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes strange. It's funny how sometimes some things get blocked, not from us, but I've seen, Babylon Bee as an example. Sometimes their stuff will be blocked. But then there'll be something that's fairly graphic that will pass through whatever the standard filter was for appropriateness or whatever.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So
I was – crap, I lost it.
So here's the deal. Where does gatekeeping happen? I think we've already touched on this. everywhere all the time. It definitely happens in religion. It happens in politics for sure. Going on culturally and society. It happens in organizations. It happens at, you know, universities, any sort of institutions, cults, without a doubt. It's there. It's, I would say, in every aspect of where human beings are meeting up. So just as scripture tells us that where two or three are gathered in the name of Jesus, there he is among them. I would say for gatekeeping that where two or three agree on something, gatekeeping is also there in their midst. Like if you've got a couple people that are agreeing on something, then a gatekeeping has been established because now they're going to do it. So when you think about that, you mentioned news, you know, Fox News, they have their standards and whatnot. So they've got a gate. CNN will have it. One American News, you know, Al Jazeera, all these, they have a gatekeeping mentality. I found this, I think you might see it too.
Yes.
Image, the gatekeeping theory. So this is from, and I remember vaguely talking about something like this when I was in school long, long time ago in a galaxy far away. But in communication theory, gatekeeping is the process through which information is filtered before it is disseminated.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so there is a filter happening. And they offer these five principles of gatekeeping theory. And the first one is that there are the five principles. There are abundant news stories. Only a limited number of news stories. So this is kind of the reality of why gatekeeping, I guess, would happen. There are abundant news stories. Two, only a limited number of news stories can be presented to the public. Three, within a news organization, there is a perspective that defines the criteria by which a news story is judged. So there's your standards, right? Mm-hmm. Four, these criteria are used by the editors to select and filter the news stories. And five, those who use these criteria become the gatekeepers. All right? So that's kind of the whole theory of it.
Yeah.
And here are these central questions that are asked about this. One, what is the process used by news media for observing the many potential stories from which their daily offerings will be selected?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's a good question because that's why you go, well, Fox News said this, but CNN said this. One American News said this, Al Jazeera said this, you know, but they're different. Why are they different? Well, the process used by them to observe all the potential stories went through their filter.
Yes.
All right, here's the second question. What are the criteria used to screen potential stories from those available to decide which ones to offer or reject? All right, this is why you end up with news channels that say different things or will report differently on the same event. And then the third question to ask on the gatekeeping theory is, what are the consequences of using those criteria for the audience? And that is to, you know, if it's, I mean, we're coming into an election cycle, which is one of the reasons gatekeeping's been one of those things on my mind about us talking, is because, you know, that's going to be just more and more and more and more where we are.
The only other thing I would say is that is probably like the honest version of gatekeeping.
Okay, I hear you.
Because then it's also like what stories drive people to our platform versus the other one.
Mm-hmm. And why would we want to drive people to our platform, Josh?
For money.
Yep.
What will make people watch our advertisements for the rest of the story and not flip to the other source.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that is gatekeeping theory clean.
Yeah.
But it's more about what can I do? What can Fox News do to keep people from going to CNN, One America, Al Jazeera? What can they do?
Mm-hmm.
What can CNN do to pull people from Fox News to theirs?
Yeah.
To their website, their social media, their television.
Mm-hmm.
What can I do to get them to click follow so they can see the ads that I'm putting on my streams?
Right. So this is this theory is in communication theory, and then it needs to be added to the marketing theory.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because true gatekeeping is marketing at its best.
Right. Because the almighty dollar drives it all.
At least on everything that isn't the Bible.
Well, okay, I like it. You stopped me in my tracks with that one. I liked it. So I like how you worded the gatekeeping theory as far as the nice, clean version, because it is like these principles and these questions are almost as if you're talking about an entity that is like a not for profit, no agenda, no attachments, and they just want to disseminate information. But even so, they would still have a criterion, a standard. Mm-hmm. But you're right. There is the money side of it, of what's driving it.
Mm-hmm.
And let's be real. If you start talking about politics, the person or persons that a media outlet supports, or a party that they support, to put that person or help that person be in office, that also has a monetary value to it, mm-hmm. down the road, as far as, you know, how does that affect, you know, the economy and all the many other things.
Yeah, it all adds up. It would be hard for me to say that there is any national news organization that doesn't just do yellow journalism at this point.
Oh yeah, just straight across.
I mean, because everyone is getting money from somewhere. And it's going to slant the way they tell stories.
Well, and even without...
To even the point, like, uh-huh. you were saying about Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
X, formerly known as Twitter, uh-huh. or just X.
Yep.
Because they want Elon Musk to give them some money. They're choosing their words carefully. They're slanting their stories.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're gatekeeping what information is coming in and going out.
Yeah. And even without a monetary incentive... or maybe even a power incentive, whatever, because that's also money. I think as just we're going to tell it slant whether we mean to or not. It's like the telephone game. You know, mm-hmm. you and I read three paragraphs, and then we are told to stand up and share what we read. We're going to tell it slant from our...
I mean, we have generations of slant that exist in us.
Right, right.
And there's no way to shake it.
Right, it's just what it is.
It's just what it is.
Okay. I think this is a good place to probably stop for today's topic. Where are we on time?
42 minutes.
Yeah, let's stop there. We're going to, in the next episode, in episode 182, we're going to get into talking about Christianity in regard to gatekeeping and what is their gatekeeping in regard to the scriptures and how do Christians gatekeep and what does that look like? And we're going to talk about all that in the next episode.
Quick answer is yes.
we're going to talk about a lot of that. And then we'll wander more into politics, I'm sure, around the next time. But in the meantime, Porch Community, I would say do some reading. Think about gatekeeping. If this interests you, our topic today, so you're kind of ready for next week.
Listen to messages and see how the person that is giving that message is benefiting by giving you that message that way.
Yeah. Oh, like my message? Like sermons?
No.
Okay.
I said everything but the Bible.
Oh, there you go.
But even then.
I know. Because we're going to tell it slant.
Because you could want a biblically found, mm-hmm. sound response, mm-hmm. and you can maneuver it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we've talked about this before. I don't know the episodes in my brain right now, but there are gatekeepers in Christianity who would say...
Good and bad.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, there's gatekeepers that would say, Shannon shouldn't go through this gate because only dudes can come through this gate.
Oh, yeah. That gate.
Yeah. Within Christianity. Yeah. Anyway. So there's the teaser for next week. Porch Community, thanks for hanging with us today, and we look forward to talking to you next week. And most importantly, we look forward to seeing you this Sunday. And see you then.
See thanks. You, bye.
Thanks, Josh. Bye.
You've been listening to the 167 podcast. Join us next time for more insights to inspire, challenge, and encourage you to help you live into the remaining 167 hours of your week.